bring in our senior NFL analyst extraordinaire. Here's Chris Mortensen on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline to answer some of the big questions out there. Good morning, Mort.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're fine. We're much better than Eric Mangini is in Cleveland or Jim Zorn is in Washington, that's for sure. Those two guys certainly under enormous fire. There is a perception out there that the players have quit on Eric Mangini, that they can't stand him. Certainly the fans and the media are ready to write that thing off after just 3 weeks. What is your sense? Let's start with that one, and then we'll work our way to the Redskins. What is your sense of the situation with Mangini and Cleveland?
Well, you know, listen, that's a fans and media thing. I've always said when we talk about hot seat, I always say, which hot seat are you talking about? Fans, media, or owner? He's not on the hot seat with his owner, Randy Lerner. I mean, this is three games into this thing. And, you know, they was understanding he was going to, for some reason, listen, this goes back to Randy Lerner. You never should have fired Phil Savage as your general manager. You had a guy who was in there capable building, trying to build a foundation. They did have talent. By the way, Brady Quinn looked pretty good last year before he got hurt. So, you know, I understand their frustration, but the problem in Cleveland is that Randy Lerner has listened to the fans too much, and I don't think he's going to listen to them this time, not for a good stretch on Eric Mangini. Now, Jim Zorn, that's another story, I think.
Well, let's go to Jim Zorn and what the story might be there.
Well, listen, when Dan Snyder hired him, and this is why I think Dan is really hoping this works out, remember, he hired him as an offensive coordinator. They went about this thing backwards. They kept their staff in place when Joe Gibbs stepped down. They hired Zorn as a coordinator. He had never been a coordinator before, and then he promotes him to head coach a month after the process started. And listen, since the middle of last year, they were 6-2 last year, and it hasn't worked very well, and they're not doing very well as an offense. And I just don't know if Jim's going to make it through the season. I really don't, because I don't think the loss in Detroit was as much of an indictment as they almost lost against the Rams the week before at home. And, you know, listen, if they should lose at Tampa Bay at home this week, I would think that Jim might be in some trouble. People want to say, well, you know, they don't want to do that because he's the coordinator, he's the quarterback coach, he calls plays. Well, you know, they have some people on staff that can do that if necessary. If the team's not performing to the level it should be, then I could see it happen, even though I don't advocate it.
Well, Zorn being the...
Can we get Marcellus up there? Thank you.
Yeah, well, Zorn being the chef of the offense, what are they saying about the identity of this team, especially offensively? Because Clinton Portis hasn't yet reached over 100 yards, and I thought this was a run-first team, play-action pass with Jason Campbell, and then you was play on some strong defense. What are they saying about that?
And that would be the strength of that team. And, you know, some of people say, well, Portis hasn't been the same since he got beat up last year, but or the offensive line, you know, and which has had one injury, losing Randy Thomas at guard, just isn't as physical as it used to be. But the bottom line is, you're right. I mean, this team needs to be a run, play-action pass, because that's Jason Campbell's strength, throwing the ball downfield. By the way, which I'm still baffled over the final play of that game in Detroit the other day. They are inside the 40, just like Brett Favre was inside the 40 at the end of the game, and they ran a hook-and-ladder play. I mean, you got a guy like Jason Campbell, and you don't throw the ball into the end zone, and it doesn't have to be a Hail Mary. He can throw it on a rope from the 40. That's a big concern. And, of course, the next question is going to be, well, is he going to hire Bill Cowher? Is he going to hire Mike Holmgren? Is he going to hire Mike Shanahan? The problem for Snyder is none of those guys, at least I don't see any of those guys, coming off the bench in the middle of the season. Those guys are enjoying a little downtime. That's what Holmgren wanted. That's what Mike Shanahan wanted. Now, Cowher's had, you know, in his year three. Normally, you see owners always lean toward a guy who's got Super Bowl rings and if he can fix an offense. That's why Shanahan and Holmgren, I think, probably get the nod over Cowher going at the end of this season, although John Gruden's out there as well, because not only do they have Super Bowl rings as a head coach, they can come in and oversee your offense and fix that as well.
I think Mike and Chris Mortensen, is there a lot of feeling that Cowher may be waiting out the Carolina situation if that thing continues to go south?
There is, but, you know, it's, you know, that Bill's pretty active, you know, in that Charlotte community when he's not on TV. And so, you know, I think that's just a one that naturally everybody just looks at. I'm not saying Bill isn't campaigning for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, if the Panthers don't turn this around.
Okay, let's go on to some other stuff on the field. Quarterback stuff. Chad Pennington out for the year, obviously a shame. Jeff Garcia released by the Eagles. Miami trades for Tyler Thigpen instead of bringing in Jeff Garcia to back up Chad Henne. What happened there?
Well, listen, this is about Chad Henne right now because he was taken in the second round last year. You remember the Dolphins had the first pick, passed on Matt Ryan, took Jake Long, and then they take Henne in the second round because they thought they could get Henne in the second round because they liked him a lot. And so this is more about the rest of the year. Let's find out what Chad Henne can do. But even though last year was a wonderful year, 11 wins, fairy tale year, whatever, going from 1-15, they're not pretending there. They understood this year was going to be tougher. They didn't want to be 0-3. And, so they are building for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years for the future. That's the foundation that Bill Parcells and his guys there are trying to establish. And so getting Jeff Garcia never made any sense. And oh, by the way, you go ask Tony Gonzalez about Tyler Thigpen. I've had discussions with Tony Gonzalez about Tyler Thigpen. He thinks he's still got a chance to be a star in the league. So what they've done with Thigpen is bring a guy in who's been in the same conceptually identical, similar offense in Kansas City under Todd Haley as they run in Miami. Now you get to evaluate Henne, and behind the scenes you evaluate Thigpen, and if it doesn't work with Henne, you can decide, okay, let's get Thigpen up and running. But this is about Henne, and bringing Garcia in really made no sense.
All right, Mort, the meeting yesterday, the union and the league got together to talk about the new CBA, so I'm sure everything got squared away, right?
No, but for the first time, you at least heard the union say it was a good meeting. They you know, they didn't talk about what you call core issues, you know, in these talks. You know, and I'm not saying that rookie wage scale is a core issue, but that certainly was not discussed yesterday. But that, it does have an impact, guys, I think, on a lot of things, that rookie wage scale. Because remember, Commissioner Roger Goodell basically said, guaranteed all the underclassmen from this past year that next year there will be no rookie wage scale in 2011. And of course the union will say, well, there never will be one, but the only year that the people in college right now know there won't be a wage scale is next April. And everybody should keep eyes in Notre Dame and South Bend this week when Jake Locker of Washington, the quarterback there, plays Jimmy Clausen,
yeah,
of the Fighting Irish, because it would be wrong to assume that Sam Bradford of Oklahoma is going to be the first quarterback taken. Jake Locker of Washington, Jimmy Clausen of Notre Dame, if they decide to come out, and I think they probably will. I think Locker will. And Locker's the guy that people have got to get used to, because I've talked to enough general managers and scouts, and it's almost like he is ahead of Sam Bradford at this point in their eyes. And you say, who is the guy? Well, he's 6'3". He ran 4.45 in the 40. He was a Pac-10 Freshman of the Year when he actually passed for 2,000, more than 2,000 yards, and almost rushed for 1,000. He's got Steve Sarkisian coaching him, so he's now playing under center in a pocket. He projects extremely well to the league. By the way, I mean, he throws. He's a big, strong guy. He throws well. But he was such a good athlete. The Angels drafted him this past week. They gave him $300,000 just to keep his attention, which is legal under NCAA rules. But, you know, against LSU, he threw for 322 yards and Les Miles, basically comparing him to Tim Tebow on athletic ability. He said, well, you know, he's strong like Tebow, but he's a lot faster. And this guy's a pocket passer that projects well to the league. Pete Carroll, you know, after they played Terrell Pryor of Ohio State, and he just says, well, yeah, this guy's just a different athlete. In other words, Locker's a better athlete, but with the big arm, and now a pocket passer with Steve Sarkisian coaching him. And what I'm saying is, watch this game and have fun, because Casey Clausen or Jake Locker could go ahead of Sam Bradford when they come out for the draft next year.
Jimmy Clausen.
That's an NFL
guy talking, obviously. Clausen. But they will both be interesting to watch. And as far as the rookie wage scale,
Mike Golick,
we are very much on record. We are both totally in favor of a wage scale.
Yes.
And Roger Goodell has said on this show many times he's in favor of it.
It's got to be smarter than the NBA wage scale. Let me put it that way. Whatever it is, it's got to be more sophisticated. But yeah, you know, something maybe if it's smart and you can guarantee veterans get money, I think it'll happen. But it just can't be like the NBA wage scale. That will not work. And it would not be fair to football players.
Okay, we'll see. Mort, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner. Chris Mortensen, always there when we need him.